Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Light the candle, Tiger!
Hi there, welcome along to the first of our weekly golf postcasts. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me this week are Steve Palmer, fresh back from Carnoustie. Maybe not fresh, but certainly back from Carnoustie. And Paddy Power's Ian McLaughlin. They're going to pick through the bones of last week's epic Open. And then we're going to look ahead to three cracking events this week. We've got the Canadian Open, we've got the European Open, and we've got the British Seniors Open. I don't know if the lads have sussed one for that, but for once, I have. So first of all, we will look back on four incredible days in the sun. It was mostly in the sun, Steve, wasn't it? There was one day where your hopeless lack of preparation told, and I very much enjoyed reading Saturday's piece, where you didn't even bring an umbrella or a coat and spent the entire day basically trying to creep under other people's umbrellas. Was that the low point of the week?
No, funnily enough, it wasn't, as it turned out. But I put too much trust in the weather forecast, and it just didn't look like there was going to be any rain of any significance. And I didn't think I needed to take an umbrella. I didn't think a coat was necessary. I was just looking forward to a week in the sun, really. But it didn't work out. It was quite a lot of Friday, actually. The large majority of Friday was miserable. And then it picked up again in the afternoon. So,
reading your stuff, actually, Steve, there's quite a lot of low points, wasn't there? The one that, I don't like laughing at other people's misfortunes, but you had a 13-hour drive from Weymouth to Carnoustie. And at one point, you ended up outside Celtic's ground just as their Champions League game was finishing. And you've got 50,000 people pouring out into the streets. I mean,
yeah, it's staggering. I mean, you think you're almost there. If you've broken the back of it, you're quite excited. And we were looking forward to a pint at the Premier Inn. I was thinking we were going to get there in time for last orders. And then, a road closure just sends you into complete disarray, doesn't it? I don't know what tactics you use for road closures if you're using a sat-nav, but if you don't know where you are, you've just got to get away from that road, haven't you?
Yeah.
So I charged in a random direction. It was just so unfortunate that it was straight at Celtic Park and just drove into a wall of Celtic fans and police cars. And it was quite fun. My poor old man was very frightened by the whole experience.
Oh,
I saw a little degree of humour in it, but
We finished recording the podcast last Wednesday about 12:30. You got straight in the car. What time did you get to the Premier Inn in Dundee?
We got to the Premier Inn about 1 a.m. I think it was half 12, 1 a.m. Yeah. So plans to watch Matthew Southgate tee off at 6:46 were ended. I was a little bit later than that. But
okay. Well, listen, I've asked for questions on Twitter for you guys, and the most popular one, obviously, and it's the one you've been asked a million times, Steve. Well, there's two. First of all, let's get this out on the open. Let's put this on the table. How much would you have won on Tiger?
I would have won £305,000 profit, and I was just planning to pay off the mortgage in one go. I thought it was that good an opportunity that I wanted to make it a significant one. I mean, it would have been, had Ricky Fowler won the Scottish Open or England had won the World Cup, I was going to go for the million pounder. But so fortunately, now looking back, those two things didn't happen, so it wasn't quite as heartbreaking as it could have been. But yeah, it would have paid the mortgage off in one go, and
Would you have spat in my face and quit your job?
Well, this was it. I would have had a tough decision to make. It was either going to spit in your face and become a professional gambler or pay off the mortgage and try and reduce my hours a little bit.
Oh, well, that would have, I'm sure we could have done that before the moment. And obviously, like I say, everyone is asking you, it's driving you mad. You never do, so presumably you didn't lay off, did you?
I didn't lay a bean off, no. No, I mean,
and you're quite happy, you stand by that decision?
I stand by that decision. The original profit was £300,000, and then I pressed up at the halfway stage because I couldn't believe he went out to 70 on Betfair. So dismissive. So then I just added another £5,000 onto the profit, and then I had no inclination to lay off. I thought he had a fantastic chance going into Sunday. I couldn't believe how short a price Jordan Spieth was. I thought it was an abysmal price, and I wouldn't have been able to lay off because I was right out there in the thick of the action and obviously didn't have a computer in my hand. So I had no option. I have no regrets. No regrets.
Were you in with the gallery? Because you had your red shirt, you had your Tiger shirt on.
Yes. I had my Tiger shirt on. I followed him for the entire 18 holes.
And what was what was the most popular shout you were giving when he was, smashing one down the middle of the fairway?
You just cannot contain yourself when you're in the middle of that. I mean, I'm a naturally quite reserved man. I don't normally get heavily involved in public displays of emotion, but I literally couldn't contain myself. And yeah, every time a putt went in, because he was scrambling so well around the turn there before it all went horribly wrong, and he every time a putt went, I just couldn't contain myself. It was at one point walking up the when he hit that shot from the bunker on the 10th, I just shouted like, you're the greatest Tiger! just right at him from the side of the bunker. And I just obviously looked a bit of a knobhead at times, but as I say, you cannot contain yourself. The atmosphere was absolutely electric. I've never felt anything like it. This is why I got no regrets. For those 10 holes, it was probably the highlight of my life, wife and marriage and children aside and all that, whatever you're supposed to say.
What was the come down like, Steve, when it all went Pete Tong?
Well, they,
were you all right?
I actually have a world exclusive for you on why it all went wrong. Would you like that? Would you
like,
well,
I'll tell you exclusive? What, first of all, let's get Ian's open verdict, and then we'll come back to this world exclusive, because that does sound very exciting. Ian, were you working on Sunday? Were you at home focused on the action?
I was working. Steve and Tiger had the Sunday red shirts on. My trousers were turning a slow shade of brown come Sunday around 4:15.
How bad
when he was
that
turn the lead. It would have been really bad. Probably the worst one the last 2 or 3 years, I would have thought, for
really?
Sure. Yeah, it
did
was,
you think he was going to do it, Ian?
I did. I have to say I did. At the turn when he was when he got to -7 and the Schauffele's and Spieth of this world started to falter, I thought, he's really going to do this. He's actually just going to scare them all out and just take it home post -7 and probably win the thing. Yeah, so we were quite nervous. So we were quite pleased to see him. Like, we thought the 12th hole might save us playing back into the wind very long, but it was actually the 11th that saved us. That second shot, I think it just it got caught up in the wispy rough and it kind of just turned out to the left, and I think he tried to be a little bit too cute with the chip, left it short obviously, and took another 3 down from there. So yeah, it kind of saved us a bit. All right.
Oh well. And how short did he get, Tiger?
I think he hit 6-4 on the run. Yeah, I think he was 2.56, 2.58 in the exchanges at one point, I think, on the 10th tee. Yeah.
God.
So yeah, it was nerve-wracking times.
And how was it for you, Ian? I can't remember. Apologies, but I can't remember your main tip. Who were you with?
Dustbin,
weren't you?
Yeah, Dustbin is right. Yeah, it was a poor week overall. I laid Spieth on the Sunday as well. Now it's a shock for everyone who knows me that I'm a Jordan Spieth truther. But yeah, I thought it was a crazy short price as well. He's obviously one of the best battlers in the game, and he battled his way to the top of the leaderboard. But with the wind getting up, the long game was always going to have to hang on for another 18 holes, and I just didn't think it would, and it turned out to be the case.
But, I mean, he showed all his fighting spirit there, didn't
yeah.
he? He really
yeah,
did.
Yeah, he's an animal, really. He's just any major championship, he just seems to somehow find a way, no matter how poor the game is, to get in contention.
I'll tell you what, though, and there was that last 2 hours were pretty thrilling, weren't they? There was a lot going on, wasn't there? You can't beat it, can you?
No, it's excellent. Like, the likes of Rory making the eagle on 14, and Rose was making a charge. Tiger obviously up there. Spieth up there. It's kind of what you wanted. It was the first major in a while when the really, really big names were all vying for it. You just didn't know which way it was going to go. Yeah, so it was a brilliant spectacle.
It really was. Now then, Steve, apart from the fact they had some Wally from Weymouth yelling incoherently at him, why did Tiger not win the Open?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say that he did trade at 2.58 on Betfair, because all these people, the hindsight heroes, are now telling me that I could have laid 190 grand at 2.58.
Yeah, of course you could. I mean, who hasn't got 190 grand lying around?
And well, yeah, most of the bet was in Betfair. I literally could have done that. But you talk about that 11th hole. He birdied the 11th hole on the first three rounds. Every day he birdied the 11th hole. So you even though he missed that putt on 10, you go to 11 and you think, you know, he's got this hole. He owns this hole. He's going to keep up the momentum. I know you love that word.
Yeah.
And on the 11th tee, it just all went horribly wrong. And I was in the third row back on the 11th tee. It's sort of bottleneck in that corner of the course. A really intense atmosphere. Everyone gets shoveled into this section of the course. And the tee box is quite a tiny one. And after Tiger hit his drive, he walked to the corner of that tee box. And he's so close to the fans there. He's like a yard and a half away from me. And then the people in front of me, the two rows in front of me, he's right next to them. And unfortunately, there was a Scottish drunkard there. You know, he'd clearly been drinking all day in the sun, and he's a yard away from Tiger, and he just goes, "It's yours to lose, Tiger," right in his face. And like, Joe LaCava sort of looks at him, and they apply the tactic of just ignore him, and then so he does it again, "It's yours to lose, Tiger," and like, I'm a couple of rows behind. I'm just really, really, really angry about this. I'm thinking this is a disaster because Tiger looks a bit ruffled, and the marshals are nowhere to be seen because they can't get to this section of tee box. It's a really awkward situation. Molinari's taking ages to hit his shot, so Tiger's just trapped there, exposed to this drunk from a yard. And I think, right, I'll let that one go. He should be able to handle that one. But then Tiger gets a sandwich out to kill a bit of time and act as a distraction. He starts eating a sandwich, and the drunk just weighs in again. He goes, "What's in your sandwich, Tiger?" Like, from a yard, from point blank range. Like, there's no marshals. He's just completely exposed. And you can imagine how angry that was making me feel. So I leaned over and just karate chopped him on the back of his head. And I said, "Stop being a prick." I said, "Stop being a prick." And he turns around and goes, "I'm not being a prick." And I said, "You are being a prick." And then the whole crowd sort of rallied behind me at that point. I said, yeah. And then he was silenced. But the damage had been done because Tiger's listening to all this. He could hear it all. It's right happening right in front of me, like a fracas probably would have ensued if he hadn't have stopped speaking. But when everyone else rallied behind me, he stopped. But I think the damage had been done. Because
couldn't that have provided a fillip, though, everyone reacting to your support?
Well, I just think that comment about "it's yours to lose, Tiger," I think that must have gone in his head, because he's already hit a bad tee shot. Then he gets up there and it's in his head, "it's yours to lose, Tiger." Oh, and then he's gone double bogey, bogey. I mean, in half hour spell, he's gone from Mr. Invincible, because he was looking invincible. Even when he was making mistakes, he was scrambling and putting well, and he never looked in any trouble. Like Ian obviously thought, he's got the job done here. He's put the willies at the rivals, and it looked like the old Tiger. And I know it sounds silly and he should be able to handle it, but this was obviously going to be the toughest major to win after the big, big long drought. And I just think when that Scottish drunkard weighed in that heavily, it unsettled him. It's quite scary for him.
Him out after the ensuing double bogey?
Well, as I say, it's because it's all bottlenecked in there. Well, after the double bogey, at the time, at the tee, I just wanted to go up and find out where Tiger's ball was and get away from the incident. But I couldn't see him after that. Yeah, I mean, heaven forbid, I'd probably be in prison if I had found him, because it... Yeah, I know it sounds silly, but it's a game played between the ears, and he was feeding off the crowd support, and then suddenly on the 11th tee, it just got a bit nasty and a bit. This bloke just did not understand the magnitude of the situation. You get a lot of people that go to the Open, and they just see it as a big piss up, and they're just in a really hot day, and he'd obviously overbeard, and I don't think if you'd asked him when did Tiger last win a major, I think he probably would have said, last year. I don't think he appreciated the magnitude of what was happening, and all the neutrals.
So you're putting it all down to this fella?
Yes, of course. All the neutrals wanted Tiger to win, and this one lad, if you're listening now, you probably won't be, because I don't think you're a genuine golf fan. He cost Tiger the championship, and he cost me my mortgage.
And you hate him.
I hate him with a passion, yeah. It was unacceptable behaviour.
Oh, well. But you sound quite chipper, Steve.
Really?
I expected you to be absolutely broken.
I always put on a good show for you, bro. So, yeah.
Did you cry?
Doors no, I didn't cry. I didn't cry because, I had a job of work to do. I still had to write the final round report. I think a lot of people were expecting me to be destroyed by it. But I took the positives. It was a really enjoyable experience for 10 holes, and I'll never forget the feeling that he was going to win. And
you can't put a price on that, can you, Steve?
You can't put a price.
Well, you could, 190 grand, actually. But, yeah.
It's something to tell the grandchildren.
Right, very quickly, lads. Name one player to take out of the Open. Someone who impressed you that maybe you weren't expecting to, or might be someone worth following. Ian, you go first.
I'll go with Eric Van Rooyen. He was... He's been impressive the last 3 weeks in Ireland and in the Open last week. A final round 73 kind of scuppered his chances of winning. I don't think he was ever going to win the title, but he's unfortunately withdrawn this week in Germany. He was one I was probably going to put up at a price around 25, 28 to 1. I think he's going to have a good end to the summer, and he's going to be a European Tour superstar in the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay, and Steve?
I think Patrick Cantlay's Open debut was very impressive, wasn't it? 4 solid rounds, 12th place. I think Patrick Cantlay, if he can just find a way to speed up, is going to develop into the major champion a lot of us expect him to become.
OK, let's look ahead to this week's cracking action next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Okay then, first up, let's look at the Canadian Open. It takes place at Glen Abbey Golf Club in Ontario. And Ian, first of all, before we tell everyone who's going to win, take us through the latest betting from Paddy Power.
Sure. We're 8 places this week in the Canadian Open. Dustin Johnson heads our betting at 6-1. Brooks Koepka next in at 11-1. Tony Finau 14-1. Tommy Fleetwood 16-1. Bubba Watson 20-1. Charlie Hoffman 20-1. And 28-1 bar.
Well, first of all, I just want to say this. It's great to have extra places for the majors, obviously, but it's also really good to have eight places for a tournament like this. And unlike some firms who are offering the best place terms, you're actually black type about some of them as well, aren't you? So well done you. And your reward for that is that you can go first. Who is your main tip for this?
I'm probably going to steal some of Steve's thunder. Now, it's not his main tip, but it's a player he likes, and it's Tony Finau. An excellent showing last week at Carnoustie. Arguably could have been the champion golfer of the year had his putter not been so cold. He had 126 putts for the week, beaten by 4 shots. Now, the winner, Francesco Molinari, had 111 putts. So his putter was ice cold all week. He struck the ball unbelievably well. He's coming up to Glen Abbey, where he was fifth last year. He's putting up serious tee to green numbers all week. The last 6 weeks, I should say. Long course here. There's been a lot of rain the first two or three days, and there's going to be more rain today. The course is going to play very long. It's going to suit a bomber. It's going to suit a good ball striker who can find greens, find fairways off the tee with a bit of length. I think he looks a solid bet around the 16-1 mark.
And Steve, this is about as different to Carnoustie as you can get this test, isn't it?
Yeah, very generous fairways, and the rough's quite light, so I would expect low scoring week. All about the iron play, really. Second shot course.
Okay, so your main tip is, Steve?
Ian's right. Finau's got a great chance. He's the only player to finish in the top 10 in all three majors this year. He's got a world class long game now, and if he putts well, he's going to contend. But I think Dustin Johnson, it's time to weigh into the favourite this week. I think he bounces straight back from the Carnoustie miscut. He's making his debut at Carnoustie. His gung-ho tactics didn't pay off. I remember we were debating last week whether he's going to be bombers or plotters. Emphatically the plotters in the end, and Johnson went all guns blazing, and it didn't work out. He made a horlicks of the 18th 2 days running, but he never lingers on failure for long. He's probably forgotten he's missed the cut in the Open. And Glen Abbey, a much better fit, finished second and eighth in his last three starts at Glen Abbey, and highly motivated for this tournament. He's marrying into a Canadian family. His father-in-law-to-be Wayne Gretzky will be telling him it's the most important event on the calendar. So, you got the world number one fully focused. And I was surprised how big a price he was this week. I was expecting something around the sort of 9-2, 5-1 mark. And I assumed he'd be unbackably short because of his record here. But the layers, I think, have overreacted to last week. I'd completely disregard last week and pile into the world number one.
And I presume you have piled into the world number one.
Yeah.
Have you piled, or are you going to just tread carefully now?
Well, it's only the majors that you can really go crazy piling on. Because there's obviously not as much liquidity around for the lesser events. But no, I'm going to try and settle down a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good luck with Dustin. Right then, who else do you like, Ian? Finau's your main bet. Who? Give me one or two others.
I'll give you a couple others. The second one, again, I think me and Steve are copying notes here, is Cameron Champ.
when I saw the field, sorry, can I just stop you quickly?
Yeah, sure.
I thought I was looking at a dog card. I thought I was looking at Monmore. Cameron Champ. I mean, this could be a new theme. We'll try between now and the end of the year to get a six-dog race between professional golfers who sound like greyhounds. But you're not going to beat Cameron Champ, are you? Is he a wide runner?
Yes, he's quite wide. Yeah, long and wide.
So tell me about this character then.
Yeah, sure. He's just another of the long list of young, exciting American players. He's one of the longest hitters to probably ever grace the tour. In his web.com tour win 3 weeks ago, he averaged 390 yards off the tee. That's not one drive. That's an average for the week. It was 390 yards. So he sends it into orbit, really. His obvious length off the tee and his green regulation figures correlate very well with Glen Abbey. This is a week where, as Steve said, it's going to be a soft course, soft greens, target golf, very, very low score. He's been playing his trade in the web.com tour this season, which is almost every week you have to go very, very low to contend. I think he can do it again. His price maybe is a little bit gone now with Steve putting him up, but I still think he can go well at around the 50-1 mark.
Okay, and Steve, who are you going to augment with?
Yeah. Me and Ian are singing from the same hymn sheets here. I got Dustin Johnson, Tony Finau and Cameron Champ. They're my only three selections. I mean, it's very exciting what's going on with this Cameron Champ. He could be something extremely special. I mean, we must remember it's web.com tour, and we've seen many a career go horribly wrong after a bright start. But, you know, we could be talking about an exceptional player here. I mean, his performances over the last couple of months, I mean, you know, we could be talking about a future world number one, and what a name to have for that job. I mean, he's 114 under par for his last seven events. You know, the penny has well and truly dropped, and I think he's inevitably going to make an impression on the US Tour. And it may, you know, this is a lovely starter for him. You know, as Ian says, the course is perfect for his style of play. So, yeah, my tactic is significant win bets on Dustin and Tony Finau, and then an each-way tickle on Cameron Champ.
Beautiful stuff. Right, then, let's do some questions. I went on Twitter earlier and said that the lads are on for the first of our weekly golf postcasts. And what questions do we have? Did Steve lay off? Did Steve lay off? Did you lay off, Steve? Someone says flake or ripple. Anyone got a view on that?
The ripple's flake. Slightly less messy, isn't it? So, yeah, I always get messy with both of them. I try and avoid both of them. Too much of a gamble. Yeah,
Ian, okay. Ian, someone says, what do you think is letting Rory down at the minute? Surely can't be off adding another major.
Yeah, I think it's just his putting and his overall, I personally think his overall motivation. Now, I know he kind of finished tight second, but bar the 14th hole on Sunday, I don't think he ever looked like he was actually going to win, or he looked like he had the motivation to drive the likes of a Tiger did. He was kind of just potting along, 400 par, 300 par, making a few mistakes, and then a quick burst on the 14th, and kind of like, oh, I can actually win this thing, and then seemed to gun on then, try and kick on. I think the overall factor is probably still his putting. Like, he's obviously one of probably the best ball striker in the world when his game is on. So I think if the putter warms up for him, he'll go close. And
he seemed very happy, didn't he, afterwards?
He was quite content. Yeah,
happy. I mean, yeah, all credit to him. Yeah,
yeah, he's got to go. Thing, yeah,
it's better to be a happy human than an angry golfer. But I'm with Ian. He seems to have lost a little bit of his drive. And if you replayed all the missed putts he missed during that tournament, you know, you think, blimey, he only lost by a couple of shots. He had a great chance to win that tournament.
I think if you knew you only had to get to minus eight, they might have played a bit different. Steve, I'm merging two questions into one here. After his performance on Sunday, is Tiger more or less likely to win another major? And if yes, which one?
He's more likely to win another major because he knows that he belongs there again. And I think the Open, without question, is the most likely one. He's admitted himself that the American majors lend themselves to the bombers, and he can't play that style of golf quite as well as the others. I mean, he's been a bit too negative, really, because he can still send it out there. But obviously, the likes of Cameron Champ are creeping up and making Tiger look like a plodder now. But I think the Open Championship is the one he can win.
Yeah, that's all right. That'll do. Okay, yeah. I'm going to ask you both this one. Ian, first, apart from the Racing Post on Wednesdays, Peter Kingston asks, what are the best sources of info when studying for golf tournaments? Ian, which resources do you tend to use?
I find when pricing, especially on the US tours, the introduction of fantasy golf in America has kind of revolutionized the way the data, the strokes gained data, and the analytics of that is kind of given out to the public masses. It's a lot more confined. It's a lot more easy to read for people. I find it great. And it
What's it called?
Down.
What's the site?
There's Data Golf out there. There's a few Twitter handles like Fantasy Jesus, it's called. They do
Fantasy Jesus?
Yeah, I know. I think it's just a Twitter bio of like Jesus, yeah. And what they do is, as well, they kind of break down the stats into 5 tournaments and 10 tournament spans. I think the season-long stats sometimes can be a little bit deceiving. You might have a guy who's had a great first 4 or 5 weeks tee to green, and then he's kind of petered off, but he's still making the top 20, 30 of the season-long stats. These kind of things break them down into 5 tournament, 10 tournament spans. So you get a more recent look at how a player is actually playing and what stats might suit a course he's coming to now. So okay. I find them all quite helpful.
Jolly good. And Steve, what are your secrets for getting golf stats?
I use the main 3 sites. The World Golf Ranking sites is the one that I use the most to get the form, and then EuropeanTour.com and PGAtour.com. I mean, there are other ones that are out there that you pay a subscription for, but I've doing all right without it. So, I'm happy with the 3 main sites I use.
Okay, and one more. Sorry if I can't get through all your questions. Thanks for sending them in, but we will do more next week. Any early Ryder Cup thoughts, Ian?
I think the more I look at it, the more I think Europe are going to be very, very tough to beat. Their team is looking strong. They now have Molinari sealed his position, as well as Narn, and with Fleetwood, they have 3 winners on that golf course already. I think their 4 picks probably the likes of Poulter, Garcia. They still have Stenson to choose from. Rafa Cabrera-Bueo. There's a couple more there. The course mightn't suit the US as much as people think. So I think Europe are probably looking solid and probably will go favourites, I think, in the next month or two.
Really? That's interesting, yeah. Steve.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Europe. I think it's a massive advantage that we play the French Open there every year. And, you know, our players are probably slightly better suited to the course. I think only, is it only Justin Thomas that came over for the French Open the other day? I mean, that sort of shows the, it was a disgrace, really. If you're the American Ryder Cup captain, you'd be pretty angry about that.
Who is the captain? Is it Captain Furyk?
Jim Furyk, jolly Jim. So, yeah, I think Europe are going to win, but... yeah, you're obviously going to need a big old stake on that to make it worthwhile.
Absolutely. Okay, let's do the European Open next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Right then, it takes place at the North Course, Green Eagle Golf Course in Hamburg. It's the European Open, and big Pat Reed and middle-sized Paul Casey are the favourites, aren't they, Ian?
Yes, I'll give you a run through the bet. And again, we're extra places here. We're 7 places this week. So Paul Casey and Patrick Reed header betting at 9-1. Bryson DeChambeau next in 11-1. Pat Perez 20-1. Charles Schwartzel 22-1. Alexander Levy 22-1. And it's 25-1 bar.
And Steve, before you take us through your tips very quickly, what sort of test is this? Who should we be looking? What type of players do we want to bet?
It's a very straightforward Parkland course. 7,583 yards. 5 par 5s. And the weather forecast is sublime. I mean, the whole world's on fire at the moment, isn't it? Germany is the same as the rest of the world at the moment. It's baking hot over there. So you've got a firm, long golf course with 5 par 5s.
Okay. And Steve, who's your top tip?
I didn't like the market leaders for this one. And I think Naturel Vera is a very lively 50-1 chance. He's a 4-time champion on the Challenge Tour. Had some near misses on the European Tour. Very unlucky to lose the Hassan Trophy a couple of years ago. Don't know if you remember that tournament. Jinhyun Wang produced some very late fireworks to deny Elvira when it looked certain that Elvira would win.
I can barely remember Sunday's Open, so I'm certainly not going to remember the 2016 Hassan Open, I've got to say.
Oh, it was memorable. Jinhyun Wang. Well, I won't bore you with that. I know you've got a busy day. But more recently, Elvira lost a duel for the Spanish Open. Do you remember that one with Jon Rahm? It turned into a Rahm v Elvira for the Spanish Open, and then Elvira put it in the greenside hazard on the 17th.
Did we back Elvira?
Yes. That was the week we had Elvira and Siwoo Kim in the Heritage. Oh, and it looked like it was time for big things. But I think Elvira has been knocking at the door, and I think this course suits him down to the ground. He was 12th there last year. He likes a straightforward, low-scoring track. 3 of his 4 Challenge Tour wins have come with totals of 21 under or better. And he was 9th in the BMW International in Germany just a few weeks ago. So, this is perfect for Elvira.
Ian, your number one pick?
Number one pick is Lucas Bjerregaard, big hitting Dane, who's dangerous around these sort of layouts where length is an advantage. Not really suited to links golf, so his miscuts in Ireland and Scotland can be forgiven. Probably means we're getting a bigger price than we should be. Strong showing in Germany already this year with a 5th in the BMW International Open. He's also had a 3rd place in Wentworth in May, so that's a good piece of form. I think he's around the 40-1 mark. I think he put up a good showing.
Okay, and Steve, you are also adding to the Elvira basket who?
I've got 4 others, actually. We've got time for 4 others.
Just whiz through them.
Sam Horsfield, hugely promising young powerhouse, has already placed twice on the European Tour, only just started his career, 22 regulation events, contended for a long way at Wentworth in May, played well in the Irish Open, Scottish Open. Thomas Detry, another youngster.
You always tip him, don't you? You love Detry. Has he ever actually rewarded you?
He's yet to make his breakthrough. He was 2nd in the BMW International Open last year, another straightforward Parkland layout in Germany. So similar test this week. 1 by 12 shots on the Challenge Tour. I think he'll come good eventually. Mikko Ilonen, much more experienced, 5-time European Tour champion. 3rd in the Hassan Trophy that you love so much at the end of April. Closed with a course record 65 in last year's European Open to finish 8th. So he likes the track. And if you want a massive price, Sebastian Gross. Don't actually like the man. He made some very disrespectful tweets about the England football team during the World Cup. Okay, he's a power-packed Frenchman. A power-packed Frenchman who could make mincemeat of the 5 par 5s. Twice a winner on the Challenge Tour and has shown enough this season to suggest he could be a runner on suitable terrain this week.
Marvellous. And Ian, who are your other fancies?
I like Horsfield. I won't repeat what Steve said. I like Sam Horsfield. He's the one that should be suited to the track. The other one I like is Lucas Herbert at a bigger price. An Australian bomber. Looks to have a game that'll suit the Green Eagle course. He's been 3rd in the World Super 6 and 3rd in the Sicily Open, so he's having a decent year. Got through 4 rounds of Carnoustie, including 269s on Friday and Saturday. He had a 77 on the Sunday, was dropping down to 51st. So I think he's probably going under the radar a little bit, and I think he can go well at a three-figure price.
Okay, and Ian, very quickly, whiz through the senior open betting for us.
Of course. Bernard Langer leads our betting at 4-1. Jerry Kelly next in, 8-1. Miguel Angel Jimenez, 8-1. Fred Couples, 10-1. And it's 14-1 bar.
Give me one goal for to back in.
I'll go with Jeff Maggart at 50-1. Seems to be playing well in these sort of senior US Open, senior Open championships. He's around a 50-1 mark. I think he can go well.
Steve, before I give you the winner, who are you going to go for?
I don't bet on Champions Tour golf and don't really follow it, but I did have a quick glance at the prices and I thought Miguel Angel Jimenez might be the winner.
The winner is going to be the great, the man who's made me so much money down the years, the brilliant David Toms. 20-1 lump on. Thank you very much, chaps. That was absolutely superb. Don't forget, we are back every Wednesday now for golf postcasts. And next week, we're going to be looking ahead to the Bridgestone Invitational and the Fiji International. Thanks, Ian. Thanks, Steve. Thank you for watching or listening. Good luck with your golf bets. Join us next Wednesday.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower. And we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.